The members please indicate their presence by voting. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
24 members present.
Today's chaplain is Pastor John Page from the Douglas Community United Methodist Church. Would you please rise?
Let us pray. O God, who has through the Holy Spirit promised to lead us into all truth, prepare our hearts and minds for the business of this day, that we may behave with true courtesy and honor. Compel us to be just and honest in our dealings. Let our motives be above suspicion. Let our word be our bond. Save us from the fallacy of depending upon our personality or ingenuity or position to solve our problems. Since you have the answers, make us willing to listen to your Spirit, that we may vote on God's side and that God's will may be done in us. This is our prayer. Amen.
Mr. Sharp, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Martin?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move that unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Objection's ordered. The clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal for the previous day.
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 15th and 16th days in House Supplement Number 28.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 15th and 16th days in House Supplement Number 28 be approved as certified.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Are there guests to be introduced this morning? Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. There are two Rotarian exchange students in Gallery B that I would like to introduce to you. Mikaela Eriksson is from Vaasa, Finland, and she is here in Juneau for this year. She's been here since August. And Marcia Shiga is from Sao Paulo, Brazil. She is actually in Petersburg, but she's visiting here in Juneau this week, and they're both here observing the legislative process for the first time. And I'd like to ask you to help me recognize them and say good morning.
Are there other guests to be introduced this morning? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we move down the calendar to unfinished business?
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we're under unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Schultz be excused from the call of the House from Wednesday, January 24th through Sunday, January 28th.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Mr. Schultz is excused. Are there other guests to be introduced? Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, I haven't even talked to her yet, but a former staff member of mine, Sandy Patel.
Are there messages from the governor?
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
From the other house?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citation and has been sent to enrolling, in memoriam, Volney F. Grace. And they also approved the following citations and they're transmitted for consideration. Honoring Pastor Dick Benjamin, 30th anniversary, and in memoriam, Charles Merritt Melick. And they've also passed the following and they've been sent to enrolling. Honoring the Great Alaska Shootout, honoring Alaska Naval Militia, in memoriam, Robert E. Bobby Brewer, and honoring the Alaska Support Industry Alliance. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 134, Labor and Commerce amended, thus passing committee substitute for Senate Bill 134, Labor and Commerce amended House, and accumulating to the practice of acupuncture. The Senate passed the following, and it is transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 178, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the review and reporting requirements of agencies of the state relating to the state mineral policy and providing for an effective date.
Will you refer to the State Affairs Committee and the Resources Committee?
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have other communications?
We've received the following report from the Department of Environmental Conservation, the Hazardous Waste Management Facilities in Alaska Preliminary Report, and the Department of Revenue, Alaska Fisheries Business Tax Credit Program Annual Report, and they are in file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports of standing committees?
The Finance Committee has considered HJR 35, Cooperation with Foreign Nations, and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by the co-chairs Hoffman and Larson. Signing do pass, Larson, Hoffman, Swackhammer, Brown, Kopanen, Ulmer, Barnes, Phillips, and Rieger. Wallace has no recommendation. House Joint Resolution Number 35 has no further referral. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 19, Foster Care Review Boards, and recommends it be replaced with the Hess Committee substitute with a new title and due pass, and attaches two fiscal notes and two zero fiscal notes. The report was signed by Ellis, Chairman. Signing due pass, Ellis, Grunberg, Furness, C. Davis, and Jackal. Having no recommendation, Gall and Boyer. House Bill Number 19 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 431, Appropriation for Tourism Marketing, and recommends it due pass. Report was signed by Donnelly, Chairman. Signing due pass, Finkelstein, Collins, Boucher, and Donnelly. Having no recommendation, Boyer and Lehman. House Bill 431 has a further referral to the Transportation Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Are there reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Are there citations or resolutions for introduction?
A citation in memoriam George Johannes Nutilla by Representatives Kopanen, M. Davis, Boyer, Sharp, Miller, and Senator Fahrenkamp. Citation in memoriam Babe P. Badgley by Representative Gall. Citation in memoriam David W. Johnson by Representative Foster. Citation in memoriam Reverend Ludwig E. Ost by Representatives Foster and Lehman. House Concurrent Resolution Number 44 by Pettijohn, requesting that a mountain in Alaska be named in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 125 by Hudson, Ulmer, Menard, Taylor, Collins, Schultz, Sawacki, and Sharp, an act relating to health education.
Health education, social services, and finance.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 332 by Hoffman and Davidson, an act establishing the Good News Bay critical habitat area and providing for an effective date.
Resources and finance.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 348 by Donnelly, an act relating to claims that are made by victims of crimes and that arise from criminal conduct.
Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 437 by Taylor, an act relating to child care.
Health, education, social services, and finance.
House Bill 438 by Ulmer, an act relating to adoption.
Health, education, social services, and judiciary.
House Bill 439 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a Governor's letter and a zero fiscal note and two zero notes with analysis. An act relating to the Alaska Marine Highway System, its funding and its budget, establishing the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and finance.
House Bill 440 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor with a Governor's letter and a fiscal note. An act establishing the Alaska Soviet Far East Commission and providing for an effective date.
We refer to the House Special Committee on Foreign Trade, the State Affairs Committee, and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 441 by Grunberg, Ellis, Menard, Boyer, Barnes, Boucher, Finkelstein, Kubina, Collins, C. Davis, Donnelly, Grusendorf, Hanley, Hudson, Jackal, Larson, Lehman, Martin, Miller, Navarre, Pettijohn, Sharp, Schultz, Swackhammer, Ulmer, Wallace, and Zawacki. An act amending Schedules 1A through VA of the Controlled Substance Law into the definition of imitation controlled substance.
Health, education, social services, and judiciary.
House Bill 442 by the House Special Committee on Tourism, an act relating to the Alaska Tourism Marketing Council and providing for an effective date.
House Special Committee on Tourism and Labor and Commerce Committees.
House Bill 443 by Zawacki, an act making special appropriations for payment as grants to the Municipality of Anchorage for upgrade of the Alyeska Basin Water System, upgrade of the Alyeska Utilities Incorporated Water System, and expansion of the Alyeska Utilities Incorporated Water and Sewer System, and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 444 by Zawacki, an act making a special appropriation for payment as a grant to the Kenai Peninsula Borough for the McGann Utilities Incorporated Water System upgrade and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 445 by Copeland and Ellis, Ulmer, Larson, M. Davis, Collins, Sharp, Zawacki, and Hanley. An act relating to the student member of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education.
Health, Education, Social Services Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
The House please stand at ease for a moment. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we revert to introduction, I guess?
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, we're under introductions, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, a friend of mine and many of us here, a former member of this body, Representative John Sun. We miss him.
In the finest traditions of this body, Mr. Sun, we hereby extend an opportunity to you to tell us what civilian life is like.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. It's always a pleasure to hear the enlightening remarks of our colleague from Ketchikan. And a pleasure to see him, if I might add. Sir, I've got a special pleasure today. We've got a group of folks from Metlakatla that I'd like to introduce. And maybe if you'd stand as your name is read, we could recognize you. Leading the team, if you will, are coaches Carl Schleich and Dan Kornberg. And with them, a group of students from Metlakatla, Teresa Bird, Jody Hillman, Vera Anisquette, Adeline Dundas, Gina Scott, Jackie Lynch, Diana Hewson, Vanessa Anisquette, Jody Lisome, excuse me, and there's one name I didn't check the first name of, but there is a Mr. or Ms. Henry there, and if you would stand up. There we go, Heidi. If you would stand up for us, we'd like to welcome you to the legislature. Thank you. And Mr. Speaker, I'd like, if I could, to ask you to recognize the representative from Bethel who wishes to introduce a couple more of these students.
Mr. Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, there are two other students that are constituents of Representative Gall's, but they happen to be the daughter of a college roommate of mine from Fairbanks, and I was the best man at their wedding. Please help me welcome Carla and Lisa Wise.
Mr. Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The state of Alaska, or this legislature, has the we are participants in something called the Southwest Energy Council, and it's a group of eight states, that collectively produce over 85% of the domestic oil and gas production in the United States. And with us today in Gallery B is the executive director, and I'd like you all help me in welcoming Patrick Rapinello.
Are there other guests? Brings us back to the consideration of today's calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 208 by Boyer and Kopanen, an act relating to student loans and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with a Hess Committee substitute with a new title and due pass, and attaches a zero note with analysis. Signing due pass, Ellis Boyer, Jackal C. Davis, Furness Gall, and Grunberg. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with a Finance Committee substitute with a new title. Reports it back as follows with a House Finance letter of intent. Signing due pass, Brown, Kopanen, and Ulmer. Having no recommendation, Hoffman, Larson, Barnes, Schultz, Phillips, and Rieger. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 208 be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 208 will be considered in lieu of the original bill. Mr. Davis?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Can I have a break?
We will stand at ease. Would the House please come back to order? committee substitute for House Bill number 208 is in front of you. Does the clerk have amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Hanley, and it starts on page 6, line 8. It has been placed on each member's desk.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 reinstitutes forgiveness. During the years that I have served, Mr. Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent for amendment number 1.
There is objection. Representative Hanley has the floor.
As I just stated, amendment number 1 reinstitutes forgiveness. During the years that I have served in the legislature, we have attacked the student loan program almost more than any other. We increased the interest in this program from 5 to 8%. We began adding interest at an earlier date. There is still a grace period for students, so they don't begin paying until a year after they graduate, but the interest is now added as soon as they receive their degree. And we eliminated forgiveness. This program, the student loan program and the forgiveness, has meant a great deal to the members of my family. I've seen our sons pay off their loans in 5 years, and I recognize what a wonderful advantage that is now as they own homes and have assumed many more responsibilities. I suspect perhaps some members of this body have also enjoyed that privilege. I think that we should make that privilege available to students today so that they can repay their loans in 5 years instead of 10 years. I believe we can afford this benefit, Mr. Speaker. I believe it is fair. I believe it will provide an incentive for Alaskans to return to the state or for others to make their homes here instead of seeking employment elsewhere. I would urge each member of the body to vote in support of this and pass amendment number 1. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had to rise, regrettably, in opposition to the amendment. Let me just, if I can, refresh people's memories with regard specifically to what we have done to the student loan program. 3 years ago, we shifted the general fund responsibility for the student loan program to a bonded program. In the current year, that bonded program brings in about $53 million of bond proceeds to fund the student loan program and only $10 million of general fund responsibility. The issue that was raised, and I wish that a member that was part of our body back then were here to speak more eloquently on the issue, but the issue at the time with regard specifically to the student loan forgiveness program was that it would have kept us from being able to bond our portfolio or the program at that particular time. If we were to adopt this amendment, the effect of the amendment would in all likelihood be that the bondability of the student loan program would no longer be possible. What that practically means is that we, instead of a $10 million general fund appropriation for the student loan program, we would in all likelihood have to come up with another 40 to 50, perhaps even as much as $55 million in general fund dollars to fund the program. And frankly, Mr. Speaker, that's precisely why 3 years ago I voted to do away with the forgiveness program. And to remind or to emphasize another point, Mr. Speaker, our student loan program is still the most lucrative student loan program of any state program in the nation. And it's the only student loan program in the nation that allows for money to migrate out of the state of Alaska to institutions of higher learning and career and professional programs outside the state of Alaska. It's the only program. It remains the most lucrative, the most beneficial student loan program in the nation. And I think that we've made the decision in the past to go with bonding. It was a good decision. It was the right decision. It freed up financial situation that we were facing 3 years ago, and that situation isn't and hasn't gone away. So I would speak against the amendment and urge members to vote no.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to declare a conflict of interest on the bill and the amendments. I am a recipient of a student loan and the forgiveness.
Mr. Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to reiterate the remarks of the previous speaker. I, too, remember that debate when the former representative from Ketchikan, his legislation was making its way through the HES committee. We had representatives of bond bankers sit at the table with us and talk about the former aspect of the program, the student loan forgiveness program, about that being an impediment to what we intended to do then, bond for our student loans and save enormous amounts of money and continue to provide access to a very favorable student loan program for the same number of people we always had in that year when we were facing budget constraints. And it was a difficult choice to make at that time, but it was the correct one to make at the time. if we were to bring back the student loan forgiveness program now, it would not be, we do not have the option of bringing back the same version of the old forgiveness program, because now that we're under a system of bonding, we don't have the option of those loans just being forgiven. We would have to take general fund monies to make up for any monies that go into the forgiveness program. So any of the proposed forgiveness programs that are floating around in various vehicles in the legislature are not student loan forgiveness in the same sense that we used to have it. It would be a general fund appropriation as opposed to just forgiving portions of people's loans and it not being a net loss to the pool of money available. And so for that reason, I'll be opposing this amendment.
Further discussion? Mr. Jacko.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This seems like an exercise in fertility, but I too participated in a loan program in the past and would like to request or that I not be voted on for conflict of interest.
There is objection. Mr. Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. Since I think some members are already taking liberty of the gentleman from Ketchikan who originally introduced the legislation to eliminate the forgiveness, I am sure with this body, as I recall, that same member realized the error of that decision, and it also introduced legislation to reinstate the forgiveness. I think we ought to take that into consideration. I think this is a good amendment, and I plan to support it.
Mr. Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too rise with some regret here to speak against this motion, but I think to try to put things in practical language, the thing we had to do, considering this in the Finance Committee, was are we going to continue the student loan program? Sure, we can take and pass this amendment and reduce the amount that a student would be eligible for instead of $5,500 a year to reduce it down to maybe $1,000 a year. But that isn't going to help the student. It isn't going to return students to Alaska because they'll never be able to afford to leave to go to school, or they won't be able to afford to go to school here. If we want to keep the viability of the student loan program, we better stop tinkering with it and pass it or leave it the way it is now. Thank you.
Mr. Cabina.
Mr. Speaker, if necessary, I also need to announce a conflict of interest as I have received student loans and the forgiveness and ask not to vote.
There's objection. Representative McLean.
Mr. Speaker, I also rise to state a conflict of interest because I'm a student loan recipient.
Representative Zawacki.
Same here, but I have two daughters on the student loan program, so I may have a conflict there.
All those who have had student loans or members of their family have had student loans. Is there further discussion on amendment number one? Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in agreement with my colleagues at this House who have spoken against this amendment. It's always difficult to speak up against giving away money to our children and students in particular. But in this instance, I believe the representative from the MATSU stated it correctly. If we want to ensure the viability, the long-term viability of our student loan program, that is to say, if we want something for our children's grandchildren, then we're going to have to turn aside, regretfully, these kinds of amendments. I plan to vote against this amendment.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm listening to the comments on the floor. It's obvious that the former student loan program with the forgiveness provisions in it worked very well. We have a number of people who took advantage of it, many of whom are sitting here today. And it's wonderful that they're back in the state providing us with their experience and the knowledge that they've gained. Will that number still be the same 10 years from now? Will we still have representatives able to stand on this floor and say, I have a conflict there because I took advantage of this program and it worked very well for me? I don't think we will, because this forgiveness clause is not in there. At the time we passed this thing, it was a revenue gaining measure in that by taking that deficit out of the column, we could replace that by spending that money in other areas. And that's in fact what we did. And people talked about how we had reduced the budget and so on. What we've really done is we've taken it out of the back of our kids' future. And as a consequence, we can all make a lot of statements about how this thing is all locked up in a bond situation right now. That the key is right here to unlock that. All it takes is the resolve of the members here to say that, yes, we are going to have a forgiveness provision in the future because we think that it's wise public policy to encourage our young people to come back to Alaska. I haven't heard it mentioned on the floor, but I believe the forgiveness provision was only utilized by a small percentage of those people who took advantage of our loan program. I think it was like 17% that actually utilized it. So we're not talking about everyone utilizing it. The track record hasn't been that way. But for those, that 17% that we did encourage to return back home because this was something that they could take advantage of, and it kept them in the state for a period of time during which they put down roots. That's good public policy. And a vote against this amendment, in my opinion, is a vote against good public policy that we've all seen the results of. And they're good results. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Boucher?
I'm going to be, without apologies, speaking against the amendment. As Lieutenant Governor of this state, I carried this piece of legislation. And it was a plan to use our early wealth to provide an education for our young people. The program as it stands today is a hallmark throughout the country. Many states do not have that opportunity. So I don't apologize for the program as it exists today. You know, and in talking to many young people, my daughter included, who's currently enrolled in a school because of this program, they're willing to share and shoulder the responsibility of facing up to the fiscal gap. Now, what happened? I hear, cut the budget, cut the budget. But when it comes to a particular program, well, this is good politics. I mean, there's a lot of young people out there. Well, I think that the main thing is to keep the program intact. It's unfortunate that the bloom's back on the rose again. We were headed in the right direction. We were headed in the direction of developing sound fiscal policy for this state. And if there is a person in this room that doesn't think revenues are going down in the next 5 to 7 years, then they're reading from a different script than I am. This is one of those unfortunate things that has to be done. And there are other areas. Our longevity is going to have to be looked at. So I think that it's time that we took a look at that fiscal policy that collectively on both sides of the aisle that we talk so much about. I'm sure in the campaign we're going to be saying, cut the budget, cut the budget. Well, this is one of those agonizing things that has to be done, but I assure you, as one who was partially responsible for this thing back in the 70s when it started, that the most important thing is to give young Alaskans the opportunity into the future, and I think as the program is presently structured, it will do that. And be assured that I'm sure that every young Alaskan who may hear what I have to say will say, that's right, I'm ready to share my share of the burden. I want to keep the program going, and that I recognize that fiscal responsibility ensures that we not only have college education for our young people in the universities of the world, but that we are also able to provide education for our young people here in the state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, was involved in the hearings that came up some time ago. And from our colleague from Ketchikan, who was reintroducing the forgiveness portion. And I would ask of the sponsor of this amendment, as I recall, at any rate, in those days, his proposal at any rate was revenue neutral. And it was talking about the bonded portion being that portion which was unforgiven, that the student paid back, and the state carrying the other half, and modifying the interest application so that it actually turned out to be revenue neutral. So my question, because this is an important piece of legislation, we've heard a lot of figures bandied around here, and I'm not terribly certain that anybody has got the right figures, or that this would automatically throw a $40 million debt back into the general fund. But I would ask the maker of this amendment if she has done any revenue projections against this amendment, and if she could share those with us, that might help me make my mind up.
Representative Hanley.
Mr. Speaker, I do not have revenue projections that would depict exactly the financial effect of this amendment. I think one of the things that really encouraged me to introduce this amendment is the fact that perhaps many of us who supported the bonding proposal when it was presented to this body did so thinking that we had to cut the budget. We've talked a great deal about cutting the budget, but that hasn't happened, Mr. Speaker. We have cut benefits from this particular program. We have talked a great deal about longevity bonus. That remains the same. We haven't made those cuts. And as I stated in my original comments, this is the one program where we have. We increased the interest. I think that was fair. I think that was appropriate. We said the students had to stop paying the money back quicker. That was all right. Then we said, well, you don't need the forgiveness. We made many changes in this particular program. We've actually penalized a successful student. We haven't cut the budget. We've used the money we saved from the student loan program to fund something else. How many grants, how many commissions have we all approved and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for since we took the money away from the students? I wish I had the projections, Mr. Speaker. Indeed, the bill that's being introduced has a zero fiscal note. I don't know how accurate that is. But I really believe that this is something we owe to our students.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The one of the points being made is, geez, how could we make this kind of cuts when we didn't make it in other areas? Well, we did make it in other areas. And in fact, one of the points the previous speaker made was off the mark. The longevity bonus, we reduced the spending there by increasing a two-year requirement. I get complaints from people who say, why shouldn't I be getting a longevity bonus? I've been in Alaska. Why'd you increase the requirement? The same with dividends in our two-year requirement. So it just isn't true that we picked this out alone.
Excuse
Thank
me,
you.
Mr. Finkelstein. What's your point of order, Mr. Martin?
I think
that the previous speaker was responding to the most previous speaker. So he was in order in his remarks. Mr. Boyer.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to speak to a couple of the issues that have been raised. One, the very nature of the types of questions that are being raised should indicate to the members that none of us have the information that's required to make this kind of decision today on the floor. There is a piece of legislation that's before the body that would, in fact, reinstitute the student loan program, and it's that vehicle that should be the opportunity to have this discussion of exactly what it would mean. But, you know, reflecting back again to what we did 13 years ago, the whole point of what we were trying to do was to make the program self-sustaining through the bond market. And we could debate that issue again probably all day long, but we made that decision. And the fact of the matter is that we are spending less today from the general fund for that portion, as my colleague from Juneau suggested, that is, in fact, a subsidy, continued subsidy, until that time that there are no students on the program that have the forgiveness. Last year, the amount was $13 million that was general fund obligation to meet that subsidy. This year, that amount is $10 million. Part of that we recouped through a more aggressive campaign by hiring more Alaskans to work here and to bring the collections under control of those student loan programs. So we've been making some real reductions. The general fund obligation will continue to be reduced and diminish over time so that at some time in the future, and I wish I had those charts, but sometime in the future this program will in fact be totally self-sustaining and there will be no general fund obligation whatsoever. And to also make one comment with regard to whether or not, in fact, we spent this money. Remember, folks, we came in here with a $950 million deficit 3 years ago. $950 million. It took all the money out of the rainy day account
to block, in large part, that $950 million hole. We had to do drastic things. It was a tough time, a drastic year, and one of the things we did was made a choice, a conscious choice, to relieve some of that crisis that was with a reduction in our general fund obligation for the student loan program. We did not spend the money for something else. It was part of our balancing of that gap. And in fact, we were lucky in that year that what happened is oil prices moderated upward and allowed us not to have to make additional reductions in real spending of general fund dollars.
Mr. Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the time I've been here, this is the fact that we repealed the forgiveness clause is one of my biggest regrets. I strongly fought the repeal of the forgiveness clause, and I still think it was a huge mistake. It's one of the few programs we've been able to constitutionally target to the benefit of Alaskans and as a preference over people from outside our state. It was a wonderful program. It was a success. And if legislation that deals with this subject is brought to the floor, I'm going to support it, and I'm going to support it through the committee process. I do have a real concern with doing it on the floor here today, though, Mr. Speaker, because I'd like to see that. I'd like to hear the hearings in the Finance Committee on this subject, and the sponsors assured me there is another vehicle that's available, and I do strongly support reinstating the forgiveness clause, and I'm going to do that through the rest of the process, through the rest of this year. But I do have real concerns with doing that on the floor.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall Amendment Number 1 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, take the roll.
10 yeas, 29 nays.
Amendment number 1 has failed to pass the House. Would the clerk read the second amendment?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Barnes. And it starts on page 1, line 7, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Mr. Majority Leader, stand at ease, please. House, please come back to order. Did you already read the second amendment? Did you read the amendment? Okay. Would the House please come back to order? The clerk has read the second amendment. Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Barnes, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this amendment changes the minimum time a career education program must have been operating prior to students' attendance from 2 years to 1 year. Mr. Speaker, we are at a time when our economy is changing, and as that economy changes, we have changing needs in the workplace. Mr. Speaker, for those members that have not had an opportunity to look at it, I would recommend that they look at Alaska's economic trends put out by the Department of Labor. Mr. Speaker, I would like to quote from the publication, "Although the demands for oil spill workers contributed to labor shortages, today's employment situation didn't happen overnight. Workers left Alaska over a period of several years, but since there wasn't a demand for additional workers during those years, their absence wasn't felt in the labor market. Now that the economy is expanding, Alaska's small workforce is becoming painfully evident. There exists now an opportunity for many Alaskans to advance in the workplace if they have the proper training. There are new career opportunity programs which have developed to meet these training needs, but many Alaskans cannot avail themselves due to the two-year requirement that is presently in the statutes. Mr. Speaker, in this list of occupation shortages from the Department of Labor, they list hairdressers, travel agents, auto body repair, mechanic aircraft, mechanic auto, mechanic heavy equipment, mechanic marine, bookkeeper, secretary, teller, dental assistant, medical assistant, electronic technicians, paralegal, carpenter, electrician, plumber, and seafood processors. All of those that I have read, although the list is much longer, fall under career education. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to cite to you an instance that this amendment in particular addresses. There's a person in Anchorage that has a beauty shop in Eagle River, in Wasilla, two in Anchorage and owns a beauty college. The beauty college has been in existence in Anchorage area ever since I can remember, certainly longer than I have lived in the state of Alaska. And this particular gentleman purchased this school because the previous owners were leaving the state. And it is known as a fine school, and this particular business person has a good reputation and has served on the Board of Cosmetology of the state. But because of this two-year limitation that we have in statutes, and it only changes the two-year, so you would still have to have an approved program prior to 1986 by the Post-Secondary Education Commission. Those students that wish to attend that school cannot. This gentleman has appeared before the Post-Secondary Education Commission. He has offered to have the money placed in trust until his 2 years is up, whatever. But nothing works. And this amendment is designed particularly to help this person and all others that fall in that category of schools that and business people that are not fly-by-nighters. And I would urge an option of this amendment.
Mr. Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I reluctantly oppose this amendment because of the history that lies behind the existing language. We have actually over 100 public and private proprietary schools that provide vocational training. Many of them provide programs and devise programs in response to demand. In other words, they may teach bookkeepers this year and find that they've flooded the market and drop that program and bring it back into being. So that there is currently existing sufficient schools to meet the demand, provided that the demand is made known. In addition, the reason for the two-year limitation lies in the fact that in the period of the boom and immediately following, there were a number of cases of schools being started, student loans being accepted, and the company or school then folding and disappearing, leaving the students holding the bag and the responsibility of paying the student loan back. In fact, we, in a couple of cases, the previous legislatures have provided the funds to make up for those losses in a few of the more violent cases. In others, we could not or chose not to do so. The best defense seems to be that the school is well established, knows the procedures, and is capable of handling the student loan monies, which go to the school, incidentally, and are not supposed to be cashed until the course has been given, that the proper paperwork has been done and the student has received the services. In some cases, this was not followed. And the result was that especially private proprietary schools as a class received a black eye, although we know the overwhelming majority of them were competent, did provide good service for the students, and were organized to meet a real need. 2 years is not too long to run a school if you wish to get all the bugs out of the system if you're starting one, or even if you're taking one over. I realize it puts a burden on the proprietor who wishes to start a school, but if one goes into any business undercapitalized and without a plan sufficient to carry one through that critical period, which in the case of most small businesses it can be up to 5 years, then I don't know whether we should provide the sort of backup, or you might say subsidy, by that would be given them by allowing them into the student loan program in 1 year instead of two. I realize that there are cases that are quite legitimate. However, we cannot, at least I found we cannot, devise
laws that satisfy every need.
Further discussion? Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, thank you. I sat through the same hearings and participated in the same legislation as the former speaker, and what he is saying is correct, that we were attempting to find a method by which we could keep the fly-by-night operator from ripping off the Alaska student who had borrowed the money and tried to become a pilot or tried to become a hairdresser or tried to become something else. We saw the exhibits of packages of materials these students had to purchase at high prices. It was a cheap plastic comb and a brush and a few other things. There were some bad examples. The situation, however, resulted in us coming down with a law that said you had to be in operation for 2 years. Basically, we were protecting the student from the marketplace, if you will. Unfortunately, when we pass a law like that, it's a nice, simple solution to a complex problem. We give that to an administrator. The administrator apparently has no ability or chooses not to exercise discretion. If, in fact, the comments of my honorable colleague to my left are correct, and that this business has been in operation in Anchorage for years and years and years, it's now been taken over by a new operator of the business, and he has to wait 2 years before these people can come in, and he comes to our person in Department of Labor, or student loan thing, and he says, look, any monies that come in from student loan, you can place them in trust for that period of time. I won't even take them. Just let me know that I can count on them coming in and I can develop my school. How in the world is anybody hurt? The monies are there in trust, things are ready to go, but no, we've got a law that says he can only convey monies to someone who's been in operation for 2 years, so he has to turn him down, apparently. Oftentimes, we end up having to pass legislation on this floor just because some one of our employees out here is unable to exercise common sense discretion. And I'll guarantee you, in my 6 years, I do believe it's impossible to legislate common sense. Now, this amendment would provide relief. That's all that's being asked for. There's no fiscal impact on the state. And all we're really saying is you've got to be in operation for one full year instead of two. I don't think that's too much to ask as to say to the business community out there, be in operation 1 year, and then we'll let student loan people come in as opposed to two. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I arise in support of the amendment this morning also. I can certainly support the contention of the gentleman from Fairbanks, Mr. Speaker, that there was a time in Alaska when we did experience some problems, particularly in aviation and in job training programs. There were many of those set up, and students simply did not get the kind of services for the dollars that they paid out. However, Mr. Speaker, I'm personally aware that the Post-Secondary Commission has had a lot more experience in monitoring and improving and approving institutions over the years, and I believe that they have the mechanism in place now to prevent the kind of abuses that we have experienced in the past. Mr. Speaker, most of this took place in a time when there was a great deal of economic activity in Alaska. We were in somewhat of a boom, but we're no longer in that era, and I believe now, because of more competition and choices available to students, that proprietors of vocational institutions or secondary institutions are simply forced to be more vigilant in their operation. And with that in mind, Mr. Speaker, I believe that this amendment is proper, and it's not only proper, but it's very timely. So I would certainly hope the members would support it this morning.
Representative Barnes, prime sponsor of the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the gentleman from Fairbanks brought up a subject that I think needs to be addressed. He said that undercapitalized businesses shouldn't expect a student loan for their students or something to that effect. Mr. Speaker, undercapitalization has nothing to do with this amendment because it's those students that have to pay to go to that school. And if the person doesn't have students, he's going to close the door whether he's capitalized or not. And if students can get a loan to go to one school and they can't get a loan to go to another one, even though that other school is noted as a better school, which makes those students want to go there, then certainly I would think that undercapitalization, and in this case, I happen to know this gentleman, and I know that he's well capitalized, that he's a hardworking, diligent member of the community, and I would urge the members of this body to give serious consideration for this amendment. I understand we had fly-by-nighters. I believe one was in the Anchorage area that had to do with the airlines, that there were young people trying to get their pilot's license, and this fly-by-night outfit took their money and ran. I don't want to see that happen, but neither do I wish to see a businessman like this and students that wish to attend that school punished because of something somebody else did. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? The question for the House is, shall amendment number 2 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk takes the roll.
20 yeas, 16 nays.
Amendment number 2 has passed the House. The clerk read amendment number 3.
Amendment number 3 by Lehman, Kopanen, and Boyer, and it starts on page 1, line 7, and it has been placed on each member's desk.
Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 3 and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Mr. Lehman, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I just draw to the attention of the members, and I think most of you or all of you should have received a copy of an editorial from the Anchorage Times that alerts you to this, and probably most of you have heard of it before, but recently the IRS has determined that the forgiveness portion of student loans is taxable, and this is different from legislative intent, certainly different from the understanding of these students. This amendment will place that forgiveness into a grant status. This is something that's being worked on presently by legislation introduced in Congress by Senator Stevens, co-sponsored by Senator Murkowski, and in the House by Representative Don Young. And I'm happy to see that my friend and colleague from Chena Ridge, as well as others, have sponsored a resolution supporting that from this body, and I also am a co-sponsor of that. This language in this amendment is language I've been working with the Commission on Post-Secondary Education, and they've suggested this language to help clarify what our intent is. And I just note, for example, in the ruling from the IRS, one of the arguments that they make is that the forgiveness becomes income, which is taxable, in the year of forgiveness, which it really becomes quite ridiculous because you don't receive it until some future year. And in my way of thinking, that doesn't make sense, that any benefit should not become taxable until you actually receive it. So what this does is just place it in the right perspective. I urge the body to support it, and I appreciate the support that I've received already from other colleagues.
Mr. Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me immense pleasure to not only support, but to co-sponsor the amendment.
Mr. Kopanen.
Yes, I'd like to commend the maker of this amendment. This is something that a number of us have been working on in separate, including the maker of the amendment, have been working on separate pieces of legislation, but it's extremely timely to introduce it and to put it in a bill that has the proper title and to speed the matter along. The representative from Anchorage is quite correct. We've been discussing this with, at least with the local IRS. I don't know what the national office is going to do. But educational grants and scholarships are tax-free. The problem, of course, is that they have chosen to interpret the language of the former forgiveness clause as being a grant of, as if it were a grant of money, which it is not, as the representative points out. So this is a timely amendment. It goes in the proper bill, and it will speed up the process much more than the possibility of passing any number of pieces of legislation after this.
Mr. Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two questions, either to the representative from District 9 or the representative from Fairbanks on this particular amendment. First question is, why was the beginning date, July 1, 1979. Is anybody about to be caught in the tax net if they received any of these funds prior to July 1, 1979? That's my first question. And my second question is, do we need to have a retroactivity clause on this? I am concerned that the Internal Revenue Service may not allow legislation like this to be amended after the fact, and it may be necessary to insert a retroactivity clause, making it fully effective as of the date of receipt. I support the intent of this amendment, but those two technical questions I think are important to answer to be sure that, number one, nobody who got money prior to July 1, 1979 is eliminated from the benefits of the amendment, and number two, to ensure that the IRS considers this fully effective on a retroactive basis.
Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, the first question is easier for me to answer than the second. The date of July 1st, 1979, we inserted that this morning as we're drafting this amendment because it was one that we caught. The forgiveness provisions in the law, I understand, were not in effect before that. And so what we don't want to do is create an obligation to the state of a grant program, and then those who received the loans before that could be coming up and saying, I'd like to collect on my grant. By the way, you know, I need the money. And so that's why we put that date in there. I understand that it does not leave anybody out that otherwise would be affected. In terms of the retroactivity clause, I'd defer to someone else who could better answer that. But I just repeat that this reestablishes original legislative intent in the program.
Mr. Ellis?
At ease, please.
Stand at ease, please. Order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There appears to be a lot of technical problems and questions with this amendment. I'm going to move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 208 Finance be returned to rules.
Is there objection? Mr. Minority Leader.
I think there's a better way to handle it, and I would suggest that instead of returning it to rules, that we pass the amendment on the floor, that we then have the bill under reconsideration, that we take a couple days, and work as a body of the whole, so to speak, those who are interested, to get the technical questions resolved, and have it back on this floor so we can do something for these students on Friday.
Mr. Majority Leader, Representative Boyer.
I call the House.
House has been called. Mr. Majority Leader, we're at ease. The House, please come back to order. Mr. Boyer, do you wish to lift the call?
Mr. Speaker, I lift the call.
Are you ready for the question? There's a procedural motion before you to recommit the bill to the Rules Committee. Are you ready for the question? Question for the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I would just comment that there seems to be general support for the conceptual idea behind this amendment. I would hope that, and I think that we'll see this bill very quickly back on the floor after the technical questions are answered and it's incorporated into the bill.
Ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall committee substitute for House Bill number 208 Finance be returned to the Rules Committee?
Mr. Speaker, you said this is a procedural motion?
That's what I said, okay, Mr.
Yeah.
Taylor. Didn't think you had trouble hearing me.
I'll make sure the troops out there did.
Mr. Martin?
On a motion?
There is a motion, yes. Mr. Martin.
To the Rules Committee to be returned.
The motion is to send the bill to recommit the bill to the Rules Committee, Mr. Martin.
Yes,
I think you understood the motion.
Right. I was going to make that motion, sir, and I wholeheartedly agree with it. And I'd like to ask if the purpose would also be to evaluate the zero fiscal note, because I think we're going way too far, Mr. Speaker, in presenting zero fiscal notes on bills. And this one here we know is going to be very, very costly to administration, unless they have excessive amount of people over there doing nothing now. But it seems to me if you anticipate 2,000 and 3,000 applicants for student loans, which is a good idea, someone's got to process it. If you anticipate there's going to be a default rate, a certain percentage, like right now, 14.
Mr. Majority Leader, your point of order is well taken. Okay. Please address your remarks to the motion before us, Mr. Martin. Ready for the question? Question before the House, this shall committee substitute for House Bill number 28, Finance, be returned to the Rules Committee. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, take the roll.
23 yeas, 14 nays.
Bill's been returned to the Rules Committee. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. There are 7 citations on today's calendar honoring Anna Ossie Lowell, honoring Mustang Hockey Association Blue Devil Bantam Tier 2 competition team, honoring Larry Taylor, 1989 Builder of the Year, in memoriam Louis Odsather, in memoriam Vivian V. Noreen, in memoriam Christian Roy Paulson, and in memoriam Hugo Linfors. I'm moving to ask unanimous consent that they be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. Brings us to unfinished business. Without objection, can we return to introduction of guests? I'll introduce a friend of mine in Gallery A, Fred Selkrig. Mr. Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we're fortunate to have working in my office for 2 weeks on the RSVP program, a student from Petersburg, Alaska. It's Molly Duvall.
Representative Wallace.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, under introduction of guests, I have a constituent down from Tanana, the superintendent of the Tanana's school. In Tanana, would you please help me welcome Vince Berry.
Mr. Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I apologize to the body for not watching my calendar, but I'd like to move that we move up the calendar back to special committee reports.
Does the clerk have special committee reports?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
We overlooked it. It's going to be nice. We're going to like it.
Can we stand at ease for a moment? Mr. Lehman?
Mr. Speaker, I just met him for the first time, and I don't know if any of the others had an opportunity, but it gives me a privilege to introduce and welcome to the state of Alaska the new managing editor of the Anchorage Times, Hugh Cunningham.
Welcome. Are there other guests? We're back to unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused on the days mentioned. Representative Donnelly from 5 p.m. Thursday, January 25th through playing time Monday, January 29th. Representative Phillips from 5:30 p.m. Friday, February 2nd through playing time Monday, February 5th. Representative Boucher from 6 p.m. Thursday, January 25th until playing time Monday, January 30th. Representative Brown. January to be excused on January 26th, and also from Friday evening, February 2nd, until playing time Monday morning, February 5th.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, those members are excused on those dates. Other unfinished business? Other announcements? Mr. Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have 3 here. First, though, is to move and ask unanimous consent that we be allowed to waive House Bill 53. House Bill 53 is an act relating to drunk driving penalties from the Finance Committee to the Rules Committee, and I would ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, House Bill 53 has been waived its finance referral. Mr. Larson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under announcements, then, I'd like to call everyone's attention that 1 o'clock today, the Finance Committee Subcommittee on Military and Veterans Affairs will be holding a hearing in relation to the veteran service contracts. That's the contracts that we've been hearing much about during the interim, and anyone who is interested, we would encourage them to attend at 1 o'clock. Then at 2 o'clock, we're having a subcommittee hearing on House Bill 227, It's another one that has drawn considerable attention. It has to do with the Rail Belt Energy Fund, so if anyone's interested, both of those meetings are in the House Finance Committee room at 1 o'clock for the Veterans and Military Affairs, 2 o'clock at the Rail Belt Energy Fund. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Gruenberg, we'll stand at ease. The House please come back to order. Mr. Ellis.
Speaker, may we revert back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Without objection, under introductions.
Speaker, it's a privilege and honor of Representative Brown and myself to introduce a constituent in Gallery A, a constituent from downtown Anchorage, Mr. Hank Rosenthal.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a privilege of mine to introduce a member of your staff in Gallery B, Mr. Bill Stoltz.
Are there other announcements? Mr. Davis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a meeting of the subcommittee on voting machines of the Legislative Council meeting upon adjournment in the Speaker's chamber.
All members are welcome who are interested in new voting machinery. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Subcommittee on House Bill 155, which relates to family and parental leave, is going to meet tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 in your chambers.
Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Seeing the mischiefs from Metlakatla in the gallery reminded me to let you all know, if you didn't know, that Southeast Basketball is in town and is going to be going on starting. I believe the first games are at noon, 12:15. The Mischiefs girls play tomorrow, and they're starting tomorrow afternoon through Saturday night. And I'd urge any of the members who have an interest in basketball to attend that. It'd be a lot of fun.
I understand the Speaker of the House is going to be throwing out the first basketball tonight at 6:15 at J.D. High. Representative Ulmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Lieutenant Governor Stephen McAlpine will be the featured speaker this noon at the Bill Egan Forum at the Baranoff Hotel. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The committee chairman's meeting will be postponed until 12:30 to accommodate the Ledge Council subcommittee meeting. Also, there's a majority caucus meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the Speaker's chambers.
Other announcements? Mr. Minority Leader.
Yes, thank you. There'll be a minority meeting, and I hope everyone will attend this afternoon at 3 o'clock in room 603.
Other announcements? Special orders. Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to add permission to the floor and the Speaker of the House to give a short report on a special committee of one.
Mr. Martin, you have the floor without objection.
Thank you, sir. Last year, Mr. Speaker, you appointed a committee of one when there was a concern expressed about the American flag display on top of our Capitol building. And I'd like to bring up an update report on the flag, the American flag and the Alaskan flag. It seems that over the last few days, the American flag was missing in front of the court building, and some of our loyal citizens and people that work around the Capitol building were concerned that only the Alaskan flag was flying, and what happened to the American flag. Well, we looked into the case, sir, and we found out that during the Martin Luther King Day celebration, the lanyard from the American flag pole broke off. So the staff was very quick to repair that. I don't know how they got up the pole, but at least the American flag is flying today in front of the court building. However, we are wondering where they got the flag from, because it was reported this morning that the American flag in front of the BOT building is missing. And only the Alaskan flag is flying. So I will upgrade you, sir, on the committee of one, and thank all my volunteers for keeping the eyes open.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Mr. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to do this today, but I think it's kind of timely. I'd like permission of the floor to speak on special orders on the IRS and forgiveness.
Without objection, Mr. Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, last October I personally went over to the post and secondary education because I realized that there were many Alaskan students that were going to be hit with a pretty heavy bill. And I went over and I examined all of their files, and I talked to several attorneys, and it came to me at any rate that we have almost 6,000 applicants of student loans that are going to be impacted by this recent decision, a ruling of the IRS. and about $10 million of taxable income that is out there. And certainly that is going to do, in my opinion, severe harm both to the students as well as to the state of Alaska. And as I looked into this thing, I felt at any rate as though there was a cause for the state of Alaska to enter some sort of legal action against that opinion. And in my mind, at any rate, that was the responsibility of the Attorney General. And the reason that I, and based upon that, I wrote to Governor Cooper October 26, 1989. And I suggested to him that I felt that we had entirely too many Alaskans that were going to be impacted by a decision that otherwise would go unchallenged unless we could find some proper authority that had sufficient standing and funds and could gain the attention of the IRS. I found that, for example, in 1983 and 1986, the Office of the Attorney General advised Polson Secondary to avoid providing federal tax advice to loan recipients. Essentially, they had been, the word had went out from Post and Secondary to inquire as to whether or not this should be reported as taxable income. And the answer twice, in 1983 and 1986, came back and said, no, instead, you're advised to direct individual inquiries to the IRS. Additionally, I found that in November 1988, the commission staff asked the Price Waterhouse officials whether the information return, that is the Form 1099 that employers use to report taxable income, applied to the forgiven portions of student loans. And the testimony that I got, the written information that I got, was that an informal opinion from the IRS representatives told Price Waterhouse that forgiveness of loans does not constitute a payment, although it may be an income to the student. So once again, there's some question as to whether or not the ruling was really right there or not. So once again, the students were not to be told. Looking further into it, you find that students who take out a loan and in return come back and essentially teach school or go into medical professions have some sort of a guarantee under the IRS ruling whereby that is considered as a grant or scholarship. And looking further back into the intent of the legislation, it was my opinion, at any rate, that there's really serious question as to whether or not that wasn't our intention when we originally set that up. That we wanted these students to come back to the state of Alaska, certainly to work and pay it back, and in return, each year give them a 10% up to 50% discount over a long period of time. So there was a requirement, at least implied. The problem was is that one legislature several years back went back and retroactively eliminated all of the requirement to remain as be working in the state of Alaska in order to get the forgiveness portion. So I asked the governor to direct the Attorney General to enter a class action or single action lawsuit to counter or to question the ruling of the IRS. The response that I got back was, in essence, was that although the IRS action may seem unfair, the Department of Law does not see any legal basis for the state of Alaska attempting to intervene in what is essentially a private tax dispute. And essentially, it's not one which the state would have standing to sue. Now, again, I'm not an attorney, but in following that, I did confer with an attorney because the impression was, why don't you suggest that the students themselves enter a class action lawsuit? And my conferring with an attorney is that it's almost impossible and it's financially burdensome for one or two or three students to tackle the IRS, particularly on a ruling of this nature. So, Mr. Speaker, what I'm trying to do is to alert all of our attention here to what I believe at any rate may be one action that the state could and probably should take. And we've got enough attorneys, I believe, in both this body and the other body here. And I would ask that we take a hard look at this as whether or not there may not be some proper role on the part of either the legislature or the Attorney General's office to intervene in behalf of these 6,000 students and see if we couldn't perhaps question the wisdom of the IRS ruling. I understand it is one that can be questioned, and there have been some circumstances on record where they've rolled them back. And so I'd just like to bring that to the body his attention, because I think it's very timely we're discussing the amendment today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I failed to under unfinished business, reassign House Bill 4. So without objection, I will this time reassign House Bill 4 back to the Finance Committee. It's currently in the Rules Committee. House Bill 4, deadlines for funding education. Are there further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House...
Mr. Minority Leader.
Could I have a brief at ease?
Stand at ease. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Friday.
Without objection, we're adjourned until 10 a.m. Friday.